You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today, we're talking about self-sabotage. It's chapter 3 from the book 90 Day Soulmate. So we're talking about subconscious sabotage, where we unconsciously may be sabotaging relationships and or our attempt to get in them, right? So maybe we're avoiding trying to get into a relationship, or we're in a relationship and we're avoiding intimacy.
Yeah, avoiding do some kind of good or healthy relationship. Yeah.
Healthy relationship, communication, open communication.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to talk about the sabotage itself, what it appears as, the forms, the various forms.
And also how you can identify, because it's something unconscious, so the people don't know is doing that.
Mm.
And sometimes it is really red flag for your relationship.
Right. If your life was a movie, there'd be people watching you and how you communicate in your relationship, how you communicate with others, mm-hmm. and they would be going, oh, look at that, red flag,
mm-hmm.
or green flag.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because I know many people, they have this kind of, behavior,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't see that. So
what are you talking about?
Most you talking and explain, hey, you sabotage yourself, and the people say, no,
right.
This is my way, this is how I am, etc.
So the question, I guess, would be, it is sabotage, but it's absolutely natural and normal. We all do it. We all go through it. The idea is, do we understand it? Do we observe it? Do we notice it? Do we want to do something about it? What are the root causes? And is there a way to, if you want, improve,
mm-hmm.
so you can improve your relationships and maybe take that red flag, throw it away, and replace it with a green flag? What are some of the ways of self-sabotage? And here's a top 10 list that we put together from a psychology magazine. It is, number one, cheating. Wow. Cheating is self-sabotage. That if you find yourself cheating in a relationship, it could be the way of becoming the villain in the relationship. Say you don't want to hurt this person, or you're unsure that you want to commit to this relationship. Well, self-sabotage is, you know, I really don't want to be vulnerable in a relationship, but I don't want them to feel it's, you know, them. So if I cheat, it will be me. Subconsciously.
And the person can broke with me because I am the cheated person.
Right. Oh, they broke up with me. I didn't break up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's some soft way that you can do some sabotage, and it's because you know are aware what happened in your relationship.
That's right. And we also talked about last week, I think it was, about all the reasons that we may cheat, which could be one of them, I think, was we're afraid that they may cheat, so we're going to do it ahead of time because we don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
So there's all these deep psychological things that are going on within us. You know, or now that you're in a relationship, oh, good, that I've got this one, but is this the right one?
So, I have to look in for something and other because this person don't provide 100% what I want. So this is the reason they have other relationship. Try to fit or balance your expectations. So that is something that
they're really romantic, but they're smart. They have a good job, but they go on trips and travel. So oh, if I can be with all of them.
Everybody know me, each other on the same day.
We have a reunion.
Exactly, for all your soulmate together.
Oh my gosh. So the next one would be lack of commitment. When a relationship progresses to where it would usually be defined but nothing is spoken or agreed. So you've been going out together with somebody for, I don't know, a few months, a few weeks, and you're starting to get intimate with the person. You're sharing a lot of information. You think not you, but generally speaking, someone observing you from the outside in your movie would say, wow, they're partners now, they're boyfriend, girlfriend, that the relationship has gone to this level. And you're unwilling to say, yeah, you're my girlfriend. You're my partner. You're unwilling to make that commitment. You've probably seen people with like, I love you. Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That hurts. Yeah. One person's vulnerable.
Yeah.
And the other person, well, and you might not feel it. So we're not saying if you're the person who won't commit, it doesn't mean that you have to. It could mean that the person's not the right person for you.
Yeah, but I believe that the first commitment is for yourself. So you have to be commitment and believe that you have relationship. If you find somebody or you want to working, the first commitment is working in this relationship with yourself. So your lack of commitment can be that you also sabotage and say, I have a day with him, but I have to work a lot. So we move the day for other days.
Okay.
So you just start to put other priority and you don't have commitment. What are you looking for?
So you're also fearful that the relationship will get in the way of your life. Now, again, these things we're going over are when you do it yourself and maybe not aware of it. So if you're finding that you're not committing to a relationship, to maybe others have told you, well, I thought you guys were going out. Well, maybe then you're sabotaging the relationship. Maybe there's good reason for it. Maybe there's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're talking about today. Let's go number three. Number three, holding grudges, which creates resentment and erodes trust. It often results from a feeling of insecurity or inferiority. None of us like to feel insecure or inferior, maybe in the relationship, but maybe when you do have that feeling, and you don't know it because this is subconscious, that you hold a grudge against that person. Like I remember somebody I knew had a relationship, and they said to the other person, things are so easy for you. You had everything. You grew up this way. And there was this grudge they held against the other person based upon they had it so easy and their life was so tough. And that was a held on grudge for the whole relationship.
Yeah.
So what was that for? Was that that became resentment, and it was resentment. And they couldn't get past it. They felt they had and that can be a self-esteem issue. It can be, and this is one of the reasons we talk about, in order to have a good relationship, you have to be good with yourself. Your own growth, your own path, your own knowledge, what you want to do, you know, from a standpoint, and we talked about athletics, hobbies, education, work, that when you feel you're on a good path, it's much easier to have a good relationship when you feel good about yourself. Two people who feel good about themselves typically have a better relationship.
Yeah, it's the way that some people don't see acting this way. If you really love somebody, you admire that somebody have a good life, a good opportunity, versus feel I am unlucky, you are lucky. You know what I mean?
And then again, what are we going to do now? We've got, you know, next year and 5 years from now, we're going to still be, hopefully we'll still be around a year and 5 and 10 years from now. So where do we want to be? Do we want to be, let's use the word jealous? Or do we want to be achieving something, whatever that goal is, and feeling like we're progressing? And again, we talk about if it's hiking or athletics or a hobby like dance or photography, if it's educational, job related or not job related. Maybe you just want to have more friends. And maybe your goal is to get out more often and visit more people.
Yes, I am.
That's ours. So okay. Next we have passive aggression communication. It's communicating your anger or frustration if afraid or uncomfortable with confrontation. So when you're uncomfortable with confrontation, you may passively, aggressively express yourself.
And this is sabotage. So based upon that, you're looking for best way for solution to attack because you feel sad, angry, or whatever you're feeling. And this way you destroy maybe the only small breach that you have with your partner. You bomb because it's sabotage. Sabotage working in the way they destroy yourself and destroy others.
So, for instance, if I always leave my shoes out and Lizette just says she's going to stop saying anything about it, but next time I do that, she's just going to take my shoes and throw them out so I don't know where they are. And then she's going to gaslight me and go, what are you talking about? Where are your shoes? I don't know where your shoes are. Now,
or like that.
Is she sabotaging?
No, I'm teaching you.
She's teaching me a lesson.
In the soft way. Now you, yesterday you do the job for create a furniture.
Yes.
And then you put your shoes there. So, and this way you never throw up the shoes.
Which is interesting, which is an interesting way to address it. Instead of bringing up where you're putting your shoes, you know, you need to put them away. Hey, why don't we go and build this new thing? I've got a construction project. It will look nice. Da 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 da. We build it. And then I realize, wait a minute. It's for me to put my shoes. And guess what? I'm just realizing it here now on the show.
Oops. Okay, commercial, please. Commercial.
No commercials. Number five, withholding gratitude. From the other person, it negates bonding and is inversely related to relationship longevity. So if you find yourself not thanking your partner, like, hey, thank you for bringing me the cup of coffee, or really appreciate us going out the other night, I really enjoy going out with you. And you may say, well, they understand it. They know we're in a relationship. They know I'm appreciative. Well, expressing gratitude is actually a non-sabotaging way, as opposed to when you withhold gratitude, it's almost like, oh, I expect it. At least the person may feel that way. So you may just think it's unspoken, and we're going to talk about where these behaviors come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you're like, oh, I don't need, I, you know, if you're in love, you don't have to tell the person, they know. They know we're in love.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
But that is a way. And also, lack of gratitude is directly proportional to shortening of a relationship.
And also for yourself, the gratitude has to feel first. It has to be authentic, because you can also become like, oh, thank you for put the book here. So that is lose value.
Okay.
Yep. So the first gratitude you have to thinking for yourself. I appreciate what you do for me. I appreciate. And then you got it. And when you say it's something that you're feeling versus that you do like the aromatic robot.
Because, right. Puffery.
Because I listen in the show, the 90 day, they really have to say thank you for everything. And I remember one show in office. You remember when Penn and Jim went to the psychology and they start to thank you for everything.
Yes.
So in this way.
Thank you for bringing that up, Lizette. That was yeah. A fantastic point.
Yeah. So that is something that we need to be careful and feel for yourself. Because
so genuine.
This is where, yeah.
Be genuine.
Yeah.
Puffery, if you're familiar with the term puffery. Puffery is like a sales thing where you're like, oh, you guys have the best company. You guys are you're so smart in what you do. And you're laying on this just stuff. People actually like it.
Yes.
But over time, you're like, you know what? They're disingenuous. I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
So puffery is not genuine.
No. And also, it's working for yourself. So expect that you, oh, my soulmate, my partner, no, say thank you for it. No, that's this. You have to work for yourself. No, expect.
You can't expect them. Oh,
yeah.
And going into that, we have more things. Not communicating clearly is a sabotaging behavior, as your partner can't guess your needs. So a lot of times we're like, oh, they should know what I want. They should know they shouldn't be doing that. They should. And of course, if you've never said that, and this happens in every relationship you're in, maybe it's your expectation. Why do you have this expectation? We'll talk about how you were brought up, past relationships, family, in a minute. Let's keep going here. Making assumptions, which is kind of like not communicating, but it's the opposite, is when you're assuming without open communication, and it can lead to misunderstanding and manipulation. For instance, if we assume our partner did something or wanted something or is thinking something and we're not communicating with them, we may, you know, we may misread the situation. Yeah. And because we misread it, we may then try to manipulate things in order to understand something without coming directly out and asking about it and communicating, because you're maybe you're scared or frightened.
Mm-hmm. And also when we're talking about our English second language, I try to not assume more, because I say, maybe I not listen well, please say it again. So assume is powerful, because you can become angry or happy for something that is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real. So watch out.
Watch out. Watch out. As we said, watch out. Number 8, an unachievable standard. What is it? Too high expectations. Successfully sets the relationship up for failure. And provides a reason to leave. So some people use, if you've ever used an unreasonable, unspoken expectation of your partner, like they should have known that and that hurt me and therefore I have to leave. And you create an argument based upon something that they never knew about. That could be an unrealistic expectation. When you set expectations that can't be met. Like some people, I think we talked about this, they set all these expectations for the other person. It's like, well, what's your expectation?
Yeah.
Well, they should be able to do all these things, and they should know that I want all these things, even though I'm not telling them.
Yeah, and also it has to be different expectation versus agreement. So couple can have agreement, okay? Different expectation. I don't know, I can...
So we talked about this last week, which were three things, right? The things that you really don't care about, they can, you know, I don't have any expectation and I don't care. Some things you may have an expectation about that you want to talk about, but once you discuss them, you're willing to go either way. And then certain expectations that are must-haves. These are things that I must have in this relationship. And so if you can separate things into those three things, again, things you don't care about and they can go either way. Things you do care about enough to discuss, but again, having the discussion can lead you to accepting maybe a decision one way or another. And then finally, things that have to be done a certain way.
And you need to have the ability to negotiate.
Negotiate.
And have agreement.
And communicate.
Yeah, and communicate, yeah.
Lack of intimacy or avoidance of vulnerability makes connection challenging and leads to loneliness. So if you're not willing, if you feel like you don't want to be vulnerable with the person, and when you're not vulnerable, you don't want to be vulnerable because you don't want to be hurt. And because you don't want to be hurt and you don't want to be vulnerable, you never get to that point of connection, and then you feel lonely, and it's you're sabotaging the relationship. If you are vulnerable, put your heart on your sleeve, your hat on your head.
And language.
English is my fifth language. What can I say? Fifth grade language.
Okay.
That when you do make yourself vulnerable, you can be hurt, but you can also achieve a next level in a relationship.
Yeah, so also for the lack of intimacy, if you have one stable relationship and you know be open, so what are you are there? You know, I see people that have many years together and lose like the friends, not really lovers.
They have or had kids together, the kids are out of the house, and everything they do is separate. And they live in different environments.
Let me travel and I go for myself.
Yeah. travel with yourself, by yourself. And then finally, disrespect and abusive. If you're finding yourself disrespectful and abusive, or you see someone else being disrespectful and abusive, it may be because you are getting to a point of anger in the relationship, and it can be something subconscious as well. But recognize when you have gone over the line, because there's something going on internally that it can be something from gaslighting, lying, manipulating. If you're taking no responsibility in the relationship, you're like, you know what, if this relationship is going to work, it's all on them. And then finally, if you're so angry that you're throwing things at the other person, that there's a point where you're going, this is sabotage, what's causing it? And recognizing that it's something that you don't want to have in your life and in your relationship, whether it's done to you or you are finding yourself acting out somehow and you don't know the reason why, that there's some anger pent up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do possibly with now not being able to share and communicate.
Yeah.
Yes? When we come back, we're going to talk more about self-sabotage in relationships. What is it? What can you do about it? And how to move forward to have better relationships. Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Today we're talking about self-sabotage. Let's get right into the importance of it and the recognition of what it is. Understanding subconscious factors plays a significant role in relationship dynamics.
I have one example, a friend that she have a really jealous boyfriend. So normally when she hang out with other girls, she's natural this, but when she's with him, she acting like that she see other guys, she's more try to the people watching her. And then, of course, the boyfriend start to feel jealous. So why you do that? Why you watching this guy? Why this? And was unconscious because I saw her in two different, like the movies, you know, two different moments. And he says that you acting more, I don't know how is the word, but more looking for the people, talking more loud, see everybody more than when you are with us. So why you acting from him? And she said, wow. And then he become angry and they had discussion. Wow. So she create this kind of sabotage. Because both.
So sometimes you move towards what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I'm really jealous and gets angry. She subconsciously knows that. She goes out in public and then therefore creates situations where he becomes jealous. Maybe she wants him to really notice her and be... Maybe she appreciates the jealousy because that means she's wanted. She's, I feel wanted. I feel loved when he's upset.
But also she know that it's a bad moment. They discuss so much. They fighting and they say, wow.
So she can't stop. She couldn't help herself until maybe once pointed out self-observation.
Yeah.
Now this is actually others, right? Mm-hmm. Observing, objectively observing.
Yeah, because she don't got it. So and she always say, why we fighting a lot? And I say, wow, when I see the picture and say, you do that.
So maybe we should be asking our friends if we trust them. Hey, how am I when I'm in a relationship? Am I this way? Am I that way? What do you see? What do you observe? And if people, you trust them, right?
Some people change the behavior with the partner and without the partner.
We're going to talk about subconscious sabotage. Now we're going to talk about where it comes from. Again, the paradox of sabotaging what we think we want. So we think we want something and we do something differently, like Lizette just pointed out. And then finally, subconscious self-sabotage is often linked to early childhood attachment styles and repeating the relational patterns that we grew up with. They find the behaviors of these adults is directly attributed to and patterned after the relational patterns they had as children. So maybe they saw their parent critical of them, but they love their parent. So therefore, they're now critical of their boyfriend, girlfriend, partner.
Yeah. Also past relationships.
And past relationships. But this becomes what is symbolically seen as this is what a relationship is, and this is how I act in it. And it's deeply within our subconscious, and it comes out in behavior without us knowing.
Yeah.
But once we tell you that, now you have to observe yourself. How do you behave? And how did you grow up? And I think that's one of the things we talk about in the book is looking at the relationships you had as you were growing up and determining what the styles were. What were the styles of how people who loved each other interacted? And again, when you say people who loved each other, what appeared to be love? We don't know the true intent in the heart of the people we grew up with. And when we're a child, we think that's absolutely whatever. And I know last week you talked about this too, where your son was talking about how families are, and you go, here's dad over here in this house, and here we are over here. He thought that's how
the normal
family was.
Family is,
And so he grew up with that as his pattern, and if he recognizes it and understands it, then he can potentially lead a different direction in his life. But there are others, like you talked about the three girls who now they're women, but they grew up with their mom having a relationship with a married man. He lived elsewhere, and the three daughters are the daughters of this man. They live together with their mom, and now all three of them are
a married guy,
are having relationships with married guys and living by themselves. And that becomes the pattern.
And the normal
for
these people,
So maybe they feel uncomfortable when some guy wants to move in with them, or or says, hey, come move in with me. And they're like, whoa, no, that's not a relationship.
Or sometimes move in with somebody and feel suffocated or whatever because don't have
because they have their own. They're used to being on their own.
That
makes some sense. Let's go into number three slide, which is the conflict of desires. We have an internal conflict between wanting a relationship and enjoying the single life. That could be self-sabotage, right? When you want a relationship and you also enjoy a single life. Subconsciously, we may shape our conscious choices, what we do and how we act in the relationship. Also, the additional point being conflict can lead to relationship ambivalence, meaning when we have a conflict between what we think we want and enjoying a single life, this actually is like that cognitive dissonance where we think we want something, but we're acting a different way. Now we can't make up our mind, so we become really ambivalent. We really don't care about the relationship that much because we're unsure, and subconsciously, it just somehow doesn't feel right.
That is a really big issue.
This is another. So this continues on with that same feeling. When you have the fear of losing independence and you then have a hesitance to fully commit in a relationship. So fear of commitment is another reason we may self-sabotage a relationship. So these manifest in the relationship. Stemming from past traumas, these fears can lead to avoidance behaviors. So again, when past trauma could be, as I lost my independence before, the relationship went badly when I lost my independence, now I'm in a relationship again. I don't actually consciously think about it because I love the person, but subconsciously I know how I had a bad relationship when I wasn't independent, and I was so happy when I was independent, and so therefore you sabotage this relationship and you don't know why. Next. Subconscious protection versus hindrance in connection. So I love that. I'm going to pop right out of that. So our subconscious mind wants to protect us because it's programmed to do that. It's a real good system for protecting us from harm, which means we automatically do things. Our biases and fears and all that are deeply down there, and they're meant to protect us from harm. So is our subconscious protecting us? Or is it hindering connection in a relationship? Can it be doing both? We don't know it because we're really not analyzing our subconscious. But what we think is something that we, you know, our subconscious takes all our past information or past patterns, and it boils up into behavior without us really thinking about it. And then, so what is a protection in one sense from hurt again creates a behavior, an action, which is avoidance.
So how do people can see the difference?
Well, how we can understand how our subconscious influences our selection of partners is if we understood that. Well, I guess number one is we have to understand what our subconscious is doing. And one way is to understand our own patterns, which means let's dive deep. Dive deep. taught you that? It's fifth grade language class.
I teach you.
You'll help me out, please, please.
Or maybe I become, you become the word speaking.
Thanks,
copy
baby.
Me.
Thanks, baby. So dive deeply into our own patterns by recognizing them. And once you recognize the patterns, you can do something about it, right? So when you recognize your fear, you can address it instead of avoiding. And we avoid our subconscious because maybe sometimes we're scared of what we really think, what we really think down deep. Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about subconscious sabotage in relationships, and we're talking about self-sabotage. So subconscious self-sabotage. Yeah. A tongue twister.
In 90 days.
90 Day tongue twister. Here we go. So interestingly enough, we go to people who are physically present but emotionally detached.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a relationship and then you just find yourself going through the motions, and we talked about this just before the show, is that I did have a relationship where we got to a point of that we had decided to stay together, but there was just not a common language, not a common goal, not anything that kept us together in a mutual way where we could be intimate, where we could share our deepest feelings, because we were just in different places and we couldn't get beyond that. But we stayed together because of family, because of kids, and you can feel it if anyone has been in a relationship, and forget the children for the moment, and you're just in a relationship where you have developed a set of friends that you like. You have developed, you go to the same organizational meetings, and you don't want to ruin all those relationships, but you just don't have the same feelings you had.
I have a friend that say, it's so sad that I feel alone and live with somebody.
So you do all the things together. Yeah. Maybe socially, everyone sees you as a couple and goes, oh, they're so lovely together. But privately, you're
alone.
You know, you just live together.
No connection.
And socially, you're the same social people you were before.
Mm-hmm.
So you're afraid to separate. So you're physically present, but emotionally withdrawn. Let's look at that there. Some examples of subconscious sabotage in relationships. We talked about that a little bit. Emotional unavailability can result from subconscious fears. So what is the fear? I think in my case, there's a fear of actually discussing deeply the problem of the relationship because there was the thought that it wasn't going to get anywhere anyway, that it would not get better, that it had gotten to a point where it was eroded, that why even have the conversation?
Yeah.
Patterns.
Yeah, and also people feel tired. We're talking about tired. So, oh, we talked this topic before. I don't want to talk it again. So I am tired with this. And a boy. 25 years later, and a boy.
So it went into one of those things where maybe the two of them thought, oh, this is something we can discuss, make a decision, and decide to agree on the decision. But they could never. That for one person, it's a must-have, they have to have this, and the other person kept falling into the pattern of the behavior that went against what the other person needed and wanted, and they could have discussions, and then one person could say, oh, I understand what you're saying, I understand what you're feeling, and then I'll try to do better, you know, whatever the case may be, and they couldn't get beyond that. What else do you have on that? Let's look at, identifying personal hang-ups. We've got a couple of questions that may help uncover subconscious fears, such as, reflect on your life right now. Do you have any hang-ups? What does that mean, hang-ups? Do you have any hang-ups? Yeah, I don't like going out into crowds. That could be one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't like going to bars. I don't like watching football games at bars. I'm making this up. Whether I do like that or not doesn't matter, but that is my hang-up. Or my hang-up is when it's 10 o'clock at night and I know I have to work tomorrow and we're out, I want to get home. And we discuss it before we go. And at 10 o'clock, there's another drink ordered and more conversations happen. And then we don't get back till midnight. My hang up is, I'm stuck on that, is like, I don't want to bring up that subject, right? So my hang up is what? Not wanting to stay out late at night because I have to work in the morning and I don't feel I'm being listened to.
Yeah.
So is that a must have? What else is there? Anything you're afraid you will lose? Oh, I like this one. Is there anything you're afraid you will lose if you enter a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Control of my free time.
Yeah, okay. Control, yes. Well, the independency.
Independence.
Yeah.
Which is, we think we're so independent, and then we do nothing. I'm not saying you guys do. I'm just saying, like, people think, oh, I want this independence, but I want to have the control of my life. I want to do what I want to do. Well, what do you want to do? Nothing.
But I want to do.
But I want to do it. I want to have my choice to do nothing.
Nobody told me.
What else do we have here? If you're hanging on to something, is it possibly a crutch, an excuse so that you really don't have to look for your soulmate? For instance, is there some reason you don't want to be in a relationship and it's really just, maybe you're scared, maybe you're fearful, but you're blaming something else. Oh, I'm just too busy at work. I don't have time. Well, is that really the case, or you're afraid if you get into a relationship, you may become hurt? And so you come up with some reason, which is a crutch, as to why you don't want to do something.
And that's so not true. It's part of the, we talk in the other show, so when the people sabotage yourself, you start to have a wrong relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yes, I am working. And you pick the wrong person because you really don't want to have a relationship. But you consciously say, yes, I'm working. And you say, why I pick the same wrong person?
Right.
Because you, and you're deep, you maybe don't unprepared right now for a relationship.
So you pick somebody as a temporary person to go out with, to go on dates with, to see, knowing that in the future you're not going to fall in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can have a good time and know that at some point, if I break off the relationship,
I'm not hurt.
I'm not hurt.
I have somebody, like they call appetizer.
But then how do you break off the relationship? You sabotage it by doing something because maybe I don't want them to be hurt. And I say, oh, I want to break up with you. So you start acting a certain way so they break up with you.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of looking and then failing again? So you're afraid that you may find somebody but just get hurt again.
Yeah, that's right? The same pattern.
Have you come to expect dates and relationships to fail? So a lot of these questions are the same. Is it the expectation that you have an underlying pattern that your subconscious says, hey, if you do this, you're just going to fail anyway, so I'm going to prevent you from doing this, and your subconscious is actually pushing you away from getting into a relationship because it's protecting you.
Yeah.
Hinders that relationship, hinders that communication. So, additionally, the final point on this slide is acknowledging fears improves relationship satisfaction. That's from the Journal of Marital and Family Therapy, that when you acknowledge fears, maybe to yourself, number one, but to the person, to your partner in the relationship, it can improve the relationship. Now, that doesn't mean, when you hear a study say that, it doesn't mean that 100% of the time when you do that, the relationship will improve. What it means is a majority of those relationships where people discuss their fears, it improves the relationship. And for those, and we say, for those relationships where it doesn't, that person isn't your soulmate. That person isn't someone you're meant to be with. That when you do communicate more, when you're more vulnerable with somebody that you're really deeply connected with, it deepens the connection. If it erodes the connection, then was there really a connection to begin with?
Yeah, you have to do again.
Number 8 slide assumptions and misinterpretations, perceptions based on superficial details or past experiences are what we call assumptions. The dangers of assumptions in interactions, we'll talk about that, and the additional point here is assumptions are common barriers to relationship communication. And that's from the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin. What's the problem with assuming in an interaction?
So assuming is a wrong way, because you is or your belief, is your pattern, is your thought together try to create some scenario that maybe is not the right for your partner.
Do you know why we assume? And I'll tell you why we assume, but why
okay,
we assume.
Why? Not told me.
We are evolutionarily pre-programmed to assume in order to minimize the amount of information we need to make a decision. That is done in order to have survival of the species. If we had to take all this information into account before we make decisions, we'd never be making decisions. So we have preconceived biases, we have assumptions, we have things that simplify decisions. Generally speaking, many of them could be correct, but when it comes to more complex interpersonal communication, it's the exact opposite of what assumptions allow us to do. The communication that we can have now as humans is so in-depth, especially when it comes to emotions and deep emotions, that assumptions can barely scratch the surface of being correct. And in fact, most of the time, they're wrong. Even if they're moving us in a general correct direction, if we have no connection on the assumption we're making, we get nowhere.
Yeah.
So, common barrier to relationship communication. If we just keep assuming what each other's going to say, then we don't have to say anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
You know?
I don't understand.
Which actually goes back to our original communication that Lizette and I had, where if we were talking about something and I said something incorrectly or said something that might be hurtful, Lizette would say,
No entiendo, señor. Say it again.
Say it again. I don't understand what you're saying. Then I had to think about it because she could assume what I'm saying because maybe I said something incorrectly or wrong. But down deep, I really maybe didn't want to say what I said. And I said it without thinking. And I said it from the top of my head because the subconscious pushed out something through my conscious without me really being able to internalize and say the right thing.
And then I touch in here, you lose the conscious, and the next day we are happy.
I'm here again. How did this happen?
Oops.
Baby, can you get me out of the basement?
Sometime, depending on the age.
Let's go on to our next one here. Oh, if we have all these sabotages that we do and others do in relationships, what are some strategies to overcome sabotage?
That's a good point.
The number one thing is the importance of self-observation and empathic communication, empathy in our communication. The self-observation, we talked about, are your friends in a position where they can observe you and maybe give you some tips on how you're behaving in relationships and how you may act differently in the relationship than you do with them. The other piece of that is who knows yourself better than you do? Or who should know yourself better than you do.
Yeah.
And doing the self-observation where you do get a book like this or a dozen other ones on analyzing your relationships, your upbringing, how you grew up with your parents and what their relationship was like, your friends and how, that if you took a look at your past relationships and your upbringing, you could recognize the patterns that are inherent in you and then once you see them, you can approach those without fear.
Yeah.
Rather than just letting them take control of your life, is once you see, it's...
It's not easy. Right? It's not easy, but you need discipline. So you have to really observe yourself also in the emotional moment. And that is the easy part.
What I always found funny is we would do a seminar and we'd have people come in and we'd have a page and say, what do I want in a relationship? And we'd give people 5 minutes to just start writing down stuff. And after 5 minutes, how many people would actually write anything on the paper? I don't know. I don't know what I want.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, how many people, if you said, name a past relationship where something went wrong and write down what went wrong, oh, everyone all day long could write down a past relationship. What went wrong? Past relationship, what went right? What did they like about the relationship? They know that stuff. They also then know about their family history. They know about their parents and how their parents got along, how their parents got along with relatives and guardians. Mm-hmm. That they know that stuff. That is the number one insight into yourself. You may not know what you want, but if you don't know what you want, your subconscious, which has been programmed with all these patterns, will push you in the direction that it wants. If you don't know what you want, if you know what the subconscious wants based upon the patterns and programs, you can then go, hey, is that what I want or not? Mm-hmm. And you can either move towards those patterns or away. And once you know what those patterns are, it really gives you insights into what you want.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think that's a huge tip.
Wow.
You like that?
I love it.
Oh, good. We'll have to work on that. So the role of asking questions for genuine understanding of yourself and of your partner. So that's very important. The additional point on this slide is empathic communication and self-awareness practices overcome subconscious barriers. That's from the American Journal of Family Therapy. Again, self-awareness will help you overcome subconscious barriers by understanding them and then either accepting them or moving away from them. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have here today? Number 10.
This is the last one.
Summary of understanding encountering subconscious sabotage. So again, the summary is, once we understand that there are things we do that create actions that are coming from our subconscious and they're sabotaging our relationships, once we understand that those things are things that are within our control, we first have to observe what those may be, understand the reasons for them, and then understand our ability to change them and redirect our behavior based upon what we want in the future. And is it what we had in the past? Or is it something different for the future?
Yeah.
We encourage self-discovery, understanding yourself, understanding your relationship, and genuine communication.
Yeah. Also, genuine communication with yourself first, and then with others.
Self-communication, self-programming, unbrainwash yourself from your past patterns.
Yeah, definitely.
Self-discovery and emotional intelligence foster healthier relationships. That's from the Journal of Research and Personality. Again, self-discovery and emotional intelligence, being able to take your emotions and go, how do I manage my emotions to get the best result out of this current situation? Because most of our situations with our partners have an essence of emotion in them. And by being able to recognize our emotion, our partner's emotion, the emotion of the situation, and managing all that for a better outcome is very important for a healthy relationship. Finally, moving forward, there are 3 steps to defuse sabotage. Number one, we talk about don't assume. Don't assume, because when you're assuming, you're taking the absence of information and you're making it up. You're making up the reason for it, right? So there's nothing there. You don't know what it is. And you make up a reason. Number one, remember, assuming is a biological evolutionary trait that allows us to take a lot of information, ignore it, and try to make quick decisions based upon assumptions. That's not a good
practice
for relationships.
And also an auditor. So that is when I training people to be auditors.
Mm-hmm.
One rule is no assume. You need to find evidence first, compare with the standard and establish, but you never assume like the person assumes. So
And I'm going to point out one more time, assumptions are an evolutionary survival technique. They are not a relationship engaging emotional connection.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
Use objective self-observation. That makes sense. Objectively observe yourself. And then finally, empathic communication. Connect deeply with the one you love, the people in your life that you want to get closer to, that you need to, one, don't assume, know yourself, and then deeply connect with the one you love. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Have a great week.
See you.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.